Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
These stories contain distressing themes and brief descriptions of violence. This content is not suitable for children, and listener discretion is advised. It was Saturday evening, June 16, 1990, when the phone rang out in Trevelyn Evans' small terrace on Church Street, in Llangollen, North Wales. It was her husband Richard calling from their holiday cottage 50 miles north in Rhydlen. They had been there together earlier in the week, as Richard was doing some renovation work, but Trevelyn had returned home on the Wednesday, as she owned the small antiques and bric-a-brac store, Attic Antiques. When Trevelyn didn't answer the phone, Richard waited a short while before calling again, and later, after trying several more times, he became worried, phoning neighbours and friends. A few people had seen 52-year-old Trevelyn that day, but not since. My name's Benjamin Fitton from They Walk Among Us. Welcome back to Murder Town, the podcast. Following each episode of Crime and Investigation's True Crime TV series, we'll explore another case right here. Without being able to locate Trevelyn, Richard rang a friend back saying he was worried she may have gotten hurt or worse, had a terrible accident. So the neighbour agreed to go down to Attic Antiques to see if she was there. And after all, as they lived in the middle of town, it was only 5 minutes up the road. When the friend arrived at Trevelyn's shop on Church Street, he found her dark blue Ford Escort parked up the street in its usual spot, if she drove to work. The door of the shop was locked, but he noticed boxes of bric-a-brac out the front, as would have typically been out there if the shop were open. He couldn't see anything unusual inside, but stuck on the inside of the door was a note that read, "Back in 2 minutes." When Richard heard that the shop looked as though it hadn't been closed up properly, he phoned the police, saying that he believed something was wrong. The following morning around 7 a.m, Trevelyn's brother Len Davis received a call from their other brother Philip to say that Trevelyn was missing. Philip lived abroad and was over visiting. Philip said that he had met up with Richard the night before around 10:30 p.m. That day, the brothers were able to get into the shop where they found her makeup compact open and on the counter as if she had just used it. Next to this, they found her handbag with her purse and cards inside. Nothing else seemed unusual, as though she had only intended to be gone momentarily. But with her bag still there, the items out the front and the note on the door, something did not seem right. The only family Trevelyn had were her brothers and sister, her husband, their son also named Richard in his late 20s, and his two grandchildren. Trevelyn's father, who was elderly, took the news of her disappearance particularly hard. They searched all over town that day, and when they reached the 24-hour point after first reporting her as possibly missing to the police, they were all convinced that something terrible had happened. The small riverside town of Llangollen in Denbighshire, North Wales, clings to the River Dee 10 miles southwest of Wrexham. The Dee is rocky and fast flowing through Llangollen as it comes down from the mountains of Snowdonia, gushing beneath the town's 16th century Grade 1 listed bridge. The Llangollen Canal, which now had this 11-mile stretch declared a World Heritage Site by UNESCO, was originally used for transporting limestone for the local coal and iron industries dating back 200 years. But after the Second World War, it all but closed entirely until boats began using it for cruising, which led to a long campaign for it to be officially reopened for tourism. By the 1980s, it had become a highly popular route for holidaymakers when travelling from further along the canal system, or just visiting Llangollen, which was the endpoint of the canal before Horseshoe Falls. Horse-driven canal cruisers pulled a large weekend crowd in the busy little town. Llangollen was already a well-known place to stop for an afternoon or weekend, walking the picturesque streets dotted with bric-a-brac shops and tea rooms. The local caravan park and campsites swell in the warmer months, and that weekend in June 1990 was a typically bustling one, with the local music festival Eisteddfod only a few weeks away, and the summer holidays in full swing. In 1990, Llangollen was the sort of town where a bike theft or property damage was more likely than a kidnapping or murder. The sort of town where locals looked out for each other and noticed when things were askew. When someone seemed out of place or something was off, someone, often a shopkeeper, would be the first person to pick it up. Trevelyne's shop, which she had purchased the year before, was one of many local independent stores. And in a town where everyone knew each other, the shopkeepers were particularly well known. The store window was full of crochet lace tablecloths and various kitchen antiques. There was a handwritten sign inside the store saying, "I'll buy anything," and it was the sort of store that tourists loved to sift through, and locals were always in there for a chat with Trevelyne. When police checked inside, they noticed a few things. Along with Trevelyne's makeup compact and handbag left in full view, a jacket was still there. There was some fruit and a small posy of flowers, and in the rubbish bin, a banana peel. Trevelyne and Richard's home was on Market Street, an easy 5 or so minutes walk from the shop, but Trevelyne would sometimes drive if she was running late or had other plans. Nothing was missing, and nothing seemed out of the ordinary. She had left everything she cherished or used regularly. Her car keys were in the shop, and a car left nearby. But the police agreed that something was amiss, and they launched a missing persons search. First, the police visited all the local businesses and spoke with friends and family in order to piece together Trevelyne's movements that day and the days leading up. Between 9:30 and 10 a.m. that Saturday morning, she stopped in at a local shop on her way to work to collect a pint of milk. The owner watched Trevelyne pull a wad of notes out of her purse to find the exact change. She told police she was thinking to herself, "We should hide that money," but she felt it was a little intrusive. They had an exchange about needing a coffee, and Trevelyne walked out. Shortly after opening Attic Antiques, a friend Christine popped in smelling the coffee that Trevelyne had just made. It was Christine who bought the small posy of flowers that the police had found. They spoke about a party they were attending, which Trevelyne was looking forward to. According to reports, up to 25 friends dropped in to see Trevelyne that morning at the shop. Everyone described her as cheerful. She didn't appear to have anything on her mind that was troubling her. Some friends said she spoke of possibly going out that night. There was one other unconfirmed sighting of her on the morning she disappeared, but this is no longer in the official account of her day. That was a sighting of her having a heated discussion with a man at the back of her shop. The afternoon was sunny when a local man who knew Trevelyne drove by her as she walked away from her shop towards the centre of town. It was approximately 12:40 p.m. and this is the time that police believe she left the note on her door. At 1 p.m. she bought an apple and a banana on the high street, and after this she was seen crossing Castle Street. The centre of town was bustling at the time. This route does make sense if Trevelyan was walking home for some reason, as it's the direct route she would take, crossing over Castle to get to Church Street. Almost an hour and a half later, someone else believed they saw her walking back towards town from her home on Market Street. There is a chance that Trevelyan did go home that lunchtime, and if she bought the apple and banana, she must have had some money on her. She would have also had her shop keys, so may have had her house keys. Police did find her keys in her bag, and there were never any reports of any other missing keys. She may very well have returned to the shop, putting her keys back in her bag. We do know that a banana peel was found in the shop's bin, and other fruit was found, seemingly to take home. It is impossible, however, to say if it was the same banana that she had just purchased, or one she had taken in with her earlier. Trevelyan returning to the shop that afternoon cannot be ruled out. She may have, without anyone seeing her, and just not remove the back in 2 minutes sign. What is known, however, is that the person who saw her at 2:30 p.m. walking back down the street she lived on was the last confirmed sighting anyone had of Trevelyan Evans. That afternoon, with the little note still stuck on the locked door, people began posting coins through the shop's letterbox for items they wished to purchase from the boxes outside, and by 4 p.m., when the shop usually shut, the boxes were still outside. As missing persons posters were pinned up around Llangollen, the whole town was talking about the well-known 52-year-old. Trevelyan had lived in the area her entire life, and she and her husband Richard had a large circle of friends. Her son had two boys who she doted on, and the family was tight. With the police baffled, it was natural they would question the family about Trevelyan, whether she may have decided to go somewhere, possibly run off. No one could think of any reason, and if by some chance she had, they all questioned why she wouldn't take her bag, or even a change of clothes. The police had to ask where each family member was that day to rule them out of the investigation. Richard was questioned at length but was able to have people to vouch for him being 50 miles away at the cottage. He had been there for the entire week. Trevelyan had been up at Ritherland with him for 3 days earlier in the week, but he said he hadn't seen her since she left on Wednesday. Trevelyan and her sibling's mother died when she was 11 years old. Her brother Len has always said that understanding the loss of her own mother from such a young age, he couldn't believe for one moment that she would up and leave or disappear herself, knowing the loss her loved ones would feel. She wouldn't want to put them through the agony of not knowing why she had left or what happened to her. Len did think there might have been a chance she went with someone that day, but that she would have never intended to stay away and perhaps was misled. And if she did go with someone, he believed she must have trusted them unless she was taken against her will, saying, quote, "She wasn't naive in any way. She was pretty streetwise. Had she gone off somewhere, she must have gone with someone she knew, and whatever happened to her then. She left one or two pieces of jewelry she used to favour, which I thought she would have taken if she was intending to leave Llangollen." The police began to receive calls from people who believed they had seen her after 2:30 p.m. that day. The following three sightings have never been able to be proven, but were all taken seriously enough to be investigated in what was the largest missing person search in Welsh history. At 2:35 p.m, exactly 5 minutes after Trevelyan was seen in Market Street walking back into town, there was a sighting of someone who fit her description. The woman was walking out of town along the A5 towards Corwin beside the Riverside Park. This location is at the opposite end of the town to her house. She could not have walked there in 5 minutes, but could have possibly done it in 10, if the timings are a little off. If this was her, she had the opportunity to walk past her car on the way, but she didn't. Then, over an hour later at 3:45 p.m., another woman who fit Trevelyne's description was seen walking into Park Avenue from the direction of the river on a public footpath. This spot was only a few minutes' walk further out of town from the previous possible sighting. Had Trevelyne been down at the Dee Riverside meeting someone? Or was this someone else? Another unconfirmed sighting was from a person who believed they saw Trevelyne in a car driving out of town, looking upset. A woman also phoned the police to say that she saw a man in a Rain-Max standing by a blue car out of the front of the antique shop that evening, looking suspicious. She couldn't remember for sure, and this was never verified, but she thought the shop door might have been open. According to updated reports, this sighting was later discovered to be not related. Police received a great deal of information about the 2 days before Trevelyne's disappearance, after returning from Ritalin. With Trevelyne being so friendly and well-known, people noticed her. 2 days before her disappearance, she was seen talking to two men outside her shop in the morning as she was getting goods from the boot of her car. It didn't seem unusual, as she often had people stop by to sell her antiques, and she would often bring things in from her car. The men did not appear to be there together. One had dark hair, possibly in his 30s, and the other an older man with fair graying hair swept to the side, smartly dressed, wearing a blue knitted jumper. The next morning, the day before her disappearance, the man with the grey hair was seen with her again. Two shopkeepers saw them walking down the road, and this time he was in a dark suit or blazer carrying a briefcase. They both described him as distinguished and businesslike. They were walking along chatting, and Trevelyne waved hello to the woman in the butcher's shop. Later that Friday evening, a local couple pulled up to the lights at the top of Castle Street near to where Trevelyne was seen buying the fruit on the day she went missing. They tried to catch her eye to say hello, but Trevelyne didn't see them. Standing in a cafe doorway with some paperwork in her hand, she was looking down the street as if she was waiting for someone. The woman looked to see if she could see a person coming up to meet her, but didn't see anyone. Two Scottish tourists believe they saw Trevelyne that night at Gale's Wine Bar, a popular place on Bridge Street in town just across from the river. There were several unconfirmed sightings of the grey-haired man there also, but no locals who knew Trevelyne recalled seeing any of them. Trevelyne's disappearance officially became a missing persons inquiry. Posters were put up all around Llangollen and in neighbouring villages with photographs and details of the last sightings. It was the beginning of what would become North Wales' most extensive missing persons investigation. A vast search began with over 100 officers. Every house in Llangollen and the outer villages were door-knocked. 1,500 names were taken down, including tourists who were in the area, and 330 statements taken. 700 cars were investigated and subsequently eliminated from the inquiry. The bank accounts were checked and had never been touched. Police carried out searches of the River Dee and the canal running through Llangollen. Local mine shafts and caves were searched, but it was no use. No sign of Trevelyne was ever found. An artist's impression of the older man Trevelyne was seen with was circulated, but came to nothing. Her husband Richard put up a £5,000 reward. 2 months went by and nothing. It was then that Trevelyne's disappearance was featured for the first time on BBC's Crime Watch with a full reconstruction. The show made a call out for anyone to come forward, especially if they had any information regarding the older man Trevelyne had been seen with in town. The family were coming to terms with the possibility they may never get any answers. In 1992, around the 2-year anniversary, Detective Chief Inspector Colin Edwards, who was heading the continuing investigation, spoke out about the case that still baffled the small community, saying, quote, "Our happily married woman could vanish without a trace on a sunny Saturday morning in a busy town centre is totally baffling. It is, without a doubt, the strangest inquiry I have ever been involved with." The family said they were convinced she had been abducted. No one believed for a minute she would just leave and never contact her family again. Welsh psychic Helen Parry Jones contacted police offering to help. According to a press interview, she conducted a seance both with police as well as Trevelyan's family and friends. The seance was recorded in case something could be used. According to the woman, quote, "From the word go, I said to them, you will never ever find this body as there isn't a body to be found. And to this day, they have never found it." In 1993, another woman wrote to police about Trevelyan. She had been on a canal bank near Van Gloughlin where she had the most overwhelming feeling that Trevelyan was nearby, that her body was nearby. Police used sniffer dogs to scour the whole area, but came up with nothing. Another psychic report ended in a search being carried out at World's End. Again, no evidence leading to Trevelyan was ever found. Police continued to call in with random sightings believed to be Trevelyan. One in a remote town in Australia, a sighting in London, and a report from France that brought in Interpol. But every sighting would turn out to be a dead end, and in 1997, after 7 years, Trevelyan was officially declared dead. Trevelyan's son Richard had become a local police sergeant. In 1999, at the age of 37, he died suddenly of a heart attack, never having found out what happened to his mother. In the time since she had disappeared, he and his wife had a third child. Knowing what a doting grandmother she was, everyone knew deep down that Trevelyan would never cut herself off from her grandchildren or not be around for the new birth. In January 2001, 11 years after Trevelyan became a missing person, her case was reopened and was officially upgraded to a top murder investigation. The main focus of the new inquiry, named Operation Bran, was on her movements in the 3 days before she died. So from the time she returned from the holiday cottage in Rhythlin until her disappearance. An incident room was set up manned by 10 officers who went over every detail of the original investigation. They hoped with new forensic techniques and fingerprinting technology, fresh leads may be able to be unearthed. In April, they announced that they were withdrawing the artist's impression of the man seen with Trevelyan, stating it was no longer accurate. Trevelyan's brother Len spoke about the new inquiry. When questioned over whether Trevelyan may have disappeared herself, he strongly believed there was no way. After all, her only son had just died. He refused to believe that she wouldn't contact anyone in the wake of that. Quote, "If she had heard, I believe she would have gotten in touch. You can get in touch by phone today, even if you don't want anyone to know where you are. I believe she would have contacted someone in the family. If she was still alive, she would realize what she was putting us all through." It was announced to the press by Chief Superintendent Alan Jones that, quote, "We see this as a potential crime, but we still do not have a body. Our task is to look at the circumstances surrounding the disappearance of Mrs. Evans and to extend the line of inquiries. We are looking at the information collated during the original investigation and how developments in police methods and new scientific techniques can assist us in gaining further information on the disappearance of Mrs. Evans. A man from Van Gloughlin is helping us with our inquiries. We are still interviewing him at Wrexham Police Station." The man was Trevelyan's 72-year-old husband, Richard. He had been arrested. Richard had provided an alibi, which reports state included a workman at his house that day and other people who had seen him down Rhythlin High Street. He explained he had been without a car, as Trevelyan had taken theirs back to Llangollen. So how was he expected to have got back home? He was soon released without charge, and in August that year, after reinvestigations that lasted 6 months, the case was wound down again. Chief Superintendent Jones stated that he had no doubt Trevelyan Evans was the victim of a crime, saying, quote, "The second police inquiry was very much a murder inquiry, and I personally think she was murdered. When the DI in this case came and told me they were ending the inquiry, I felt disappointed, more disappointed than the last time." And Superintendent Steve Gould of North Wales Police stated, quote, "Investigations such as these are never closed unless we establish what exactly has occurred and obtain sufficient evidence against individuals to mount a prosecution. We would ask anyone with information which may assist the investigation to contact North Wales Police."
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In 2005, Trevelyan's brother revealed after 15 years, the belief was that she had been murdered, and it had probably occurred within 24 hours of her abduction. Len Davis made a TV appeal for any witnesses or anyone who could help police. He also revealed that he had been shocked to discover that Trevelyan had possibly had a, quote, "gentleman friend" that was not her husband. The family couldn't reconcile this, but it certainly may play a part in the mystery. Len stated in part, quote, "I believe there are people, for whatever reason, who have not come forward. I appeal to those people now. If they feel they can't approach the police, I'd be more than grateful to have a chat with them myself. The worst part of it is the fact that we don't know where she is. I'd hate to think she's possibly just lying in a wood undercover somewhere and untraced. I'd really like to find her and give her a Christian burial. If it was murder, it's secondary to finding out what happened. I just want to find her and bring her home." The police said that the investigation into the man in the artist's sketch, the man apparently seen at the wine bar with Trevely, was closed. They were no longer investigating that lead. Following the death of Trevelyan's husband Richard in 2009, the 20th anniversary saw another reopening of the case. Police say it has never been closed, only wound down and reinstigated. This time, Len said, quote, I am the only one left alive from her side of the family, and I would love to find out what happened to her. Police pursued a lead in 2011 when they suspected the serial killer Robin Lygus might have been involved. In 1994, 4 years after Trevelyan disappeared, Lygus, who was from Shropshire bordering Wales, killed a male antique dealer only 30 miles from Llangollen, plus two other men in Shropshire. But in 2012, police ruled out any connection to Trevelyan. In May 2019, two brothers came forward to the press after lodging a formal complaint against the North Wales Police Force handling of information regarding Trevelyan's disappearance. They believed the police had sat on information they had passed over. The brothers were former chief auditor for Flintshire Council Andy Sutton from Wrexham and his brother Lee from Kimmel Bay. They had been made aware of information relating to Trevelyan in February, after which they handed it over to police. This new information, which they described as high quality, pointed to Trevelyan's remains being buried in the Rhytherland area, in particular under the floorboards of the local golf club's bar. Rhytherland is the location where Trevelyan and her husband had their holiday home, and where her husband was staying during the time Trevelyan disappeared. While waiting for police to respond, the Sutton brothers got permission from the golf course to take an inspection camera and have a look under the floor. They passed their findings over to police in March. Based on their report, police are said to have carried out their own search later that month, including some sort of dig on the golf course grounds. Witnesses saw five police cars arrive at the golf course late one morning, staying there overnight. However, a police spokesperson announced that the search was unsuccessful and that no sign of any human remains had been located. In response to this, the Sutton brothers lodged a formal complaint against police. As reported by the North Wales Daily Post, Tim Evans, the temporary detective chief inspector of North Wales Police's Professional Standards Department, stated, "In response to the statement released by Mr. Andy Sutton and Mr. Lee Sutton, I can confirm that we have received complaints which have been formally recorded. I am foremost mindful that such serious allegations have the potential to cause anxiety to Mrs. Evans' family, and our officers will continue to support them as necessary. To allay any wider public concern, the identified area was examined by crime scene investigators, but no evidence was identified to corroborate the allegations received. We will, however, refer the matter to the Independent Office for Police Conduct to ensure independent oversight and direction." The complaint was handed on to the watchdog, the Office for Police Conduct, and there it was decided after careful assessment that the case was suitable for a local investigation by the police force, but they didn't believe the matter would necessarily go on to an independent investigation. For Trevelyan's brother Len Davis, now in his late 70s, and one of Trevelyan's only remaining relatives, the case will never close. He is tight-lipped about theories. He just wants answers. Quote, "If she had simply gone missing, she would have made contact. If she had suffered an accident, a body would have been found. Is very frustrating for us and devastating for the family. We would appeal for anyone with information to speak to us." If anyone has any information on the disappearance of Trevelyan Evans, who disappeared from Llangollen, North Wales on the 16th of June 1990, you are urged to contact North Wales Police on 01978 290 222. Or Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
I'm Catherine Kelly, host of Crime and Investigation's true crime TV series, Murder Town. Join me next Monday at 9 p.m. as I visit Middlesbrough, a town that was rocked by the murder of David Birkett, killed by a psychopath wanting to commit the perfect crime. For more information on the series, head to crimeandinvestigation.co.uk and let us know your thoughts by searching for Crime and Investigation on social media or using hashtag MurderTown.
The MurderTown podcast is hosted by Benjamin Fitton, researched and written by Anna Priestland, and edited and produced by Chloe Frost.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.